So those numbers, they give us a sense of the enormous scale of this crisis. But of course, within each number, there are individual human beings and their stories. Sunny Lay knows that story so very well because he has lived it. In 1980, he was one of the hundreds of thousands of so-called boat people who fled Vietnam. And he joins us now from Berkeley, California. Sunny, welcome.
Thank you for having me on.
How old were you when you left Vietnam?
I was 15 going on to 16.
And what happened the night that you left?
Basically, we were on a tiny river boat with 304 other people. And as we were snaking along the coast in the inland waterway. And once we got to the opening to the ocean of the South China Sea, we made a break, trying to run away from the coast as fast as possible.
Were you with people that you knew, or were you with any of your family members out there on the open water?
I was supposed to have been with my uncle, but at the last minute, things didn't work out. So I was with strangers and a few cousins of my age. We had no idea where we were going. By daybreak, we were already in trouble. And we were drifting in the South China Sea. Who knows where we were?
Did you have enough water, enough food supplies? I mean, what were the conditions like?
We thought we did. We thought we did. Of course we didn't. And within the water tank, we had some catfish. And we thought we could use that water and the fish and cook with the rice. And when the hole broke, I mean, we ran out of fresh water. Basically, we were squeezing jicama for a few droplets here and there, like people in the desert digging for those tubers in the Sahara, in the Kalahari. Basically, that's what we were doing. And there were, like, literally about 300 people on the deck. And looking back, I could smell it. I caught the stench of death. I mean, it was fecal matter. It was urine, vomiting combined, and the sweat baked in the sun. And it was overwhelming. And in fact, people went insane. One man, he couldn't take it, so he jumped into the water and disappeared, just like that.
Sunny, you know, hearing this, I can't help but to ask, I mean, were the conditions for you and your family in Vietnam so bad that this journey, this dangerous journey, was the better option? I mean, I'm asking that because I think a lot of people are wondering that now about the tens of thousands of migrants and refugees who are streaming into Europe. How bad must it be to make that decision to go?
Let's put it this way. When the war ended, I was in third grade. At that point, 1975 to 80, I couldn't go to school. And the specter of being drafted into the military was hanging over our heads for young men. 500,000 men, Vietnamese men, were occupying Cambodia, and some 200,000 didn't come home. As refugees, if we had better options, we would not have left. You had no idea, as a teenager, coming up age, without language, without your parents around. I wasn't able to see my mom and dad for another 15 years. They didn't know I was still alive. As a child, I mean, I was a teenager. We lived along the southern coastal area. I mean, bodies were fished up. And, of course, the Vietnamese government at that time didn't want the public to know how things were going. I mean, we had no idea. It was just hush-hush. I mean, on my mom's side, we had a family of seven relatives. They left, and we have never heard from them.
Well, Sunny, hearing you say this, of course, it's impossible not to think of the Syrian refugees, many of whom are traveling by boat now. Can you even bear to look at those images?
I couldn't for a little while there. I had to muster up courage to look at it because I think that for those of us who had crossed that plank, it's our responsibility to hold it in place for others to cross. When I see those images, I kept thinking of myself. I know many Vietnamese and Cambodians and Laotians who see the same thing, who see themselves in those refugees from Africa and from Syria, from Libya, crossing the waters. The desperation and the unknowingness. I mean, we had no idea where we were heading towards, but we had one hope, and that was to stay alive.
Do you think there's a moral responsibility for the United States to do
yes.
more?
Yes, I think we do. I believe that NATO and the U.S. particularly should have a resettlement policy as part of the State Department and the Department of Defense. You know, we cannot go around the world engaging in regional conflicts behind the scenes or up front without thinking that at some point people will be displaced. And what are we going to do about it? I mean, we can't be a world policeman and peacekeeper without thinking the side effects of that. You know, I'm looking back. What if the U.S. hadn't been part of the Vietnam War? I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. Though I appreciate it'll be here, but I, you know, in the back of my mind, I keep asking, what if? What if there was no Vietnam War?
Well, Sunny Lay is a communications instructor at San Francisco State University's College of Extended Learning. In 1980, at the age of 15, he was one of the hundreds of thousands of so-called Vietnamese boat people. Sunny, thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me share my story.